welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Tom, and my wife Lori and I are your equipping pastors, and it's an honor to be here to speak to you. I guess the big question we've all been asking is, when are things going to get back to normal? And I am ready for that to happen. That's where my heart is at. I was very cautious when this whole thing started. I'm in that elderly pool of people, as you can see by my gray hairs. I also have underlying health conditions, and so we were very cautious at the beginning. And my daughter and son-in-law work out at the prison, and so that's where a lot of the COVID was, and so they were very cautious about having our grandsons come over to the house. We used to watch them every day while they worked, and suddenly now we're not, and it was very difficult as we isolated ourselves. We couldn't see the grandkids. We couldn't go places. We stayed home. We worked on the house and the yard, and I'm tired, and I'm ready to get back to normal. You know, that freedom to move, that freedom to hold grandchildren, the two worship services, doing all the things we do as a church family. I was thinking about my health, and I was diagnosed with diabetes 23 years ago. I'm type 2 diabetic. And when I was first diagnosed with diabetes, I struggled mightily with all the impacts and changes that that meant. The only thing I could see was all the losses that I was going to experience, and I was grieving that, and I was angry about that, and I was acting out of my anger, and my wife and I fought for about 3 years about food. Ridiculous stuff. One day, she told me that she'd had it, and that I could do anything I wanted in regard to food, and she was going to buy a black wardrobe, and she and my daughter were going to travel Europe on the insurance money. That sort of brought me back to reality, and I had an attitude adjustment, and so we got on board with the program of the things that needed to happen in order to have health, which meant higher levels of activity for me. And I don't like to exercise, but I have to walk and I have to move in order to be healthy. I have to manage my food, lower carbohydrates, smaller portions, medicine when needed. And the reality is that when you make that kind of lifestyle change, going back to normal is not an option, because to go back to the way things were is to go back to the path that leads to death. And that's not an option. And so you have to embrace, I had to embrace a new normal, a new lifestyle, a new way of being in what was healthy for me. I know as our struggle as God's people, that God's people have always struggled with change. When the nation of Judah, God's people, were vanquished and taken into captivity to Babylon, they were grieving the losses that they had experienced, carried off to exile in a foreign land. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4, speaks to their mindset and speaks to their hurt and their loss and their grief. It says this: "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows, there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" You see, they were questioning God. They called him Almighty, and yet, from a theological perspective, in that time period, they saw that the gods of Babylon had vanquished their God, that the armies of Babylon had vanquished their armies, and that they were in exile, and their city and their homeland had been taken from them. And so they were questioning, does God still love us? What's going on in the midst of all this? What do we struggle with today? I know that there are restrictions that we face. Maybe it's on movement or work or recreation or the activities of life that give us joy. Maybe we are struggling with anxiety and fear about the disease and about our bills and about family relationships. Maybe we're struggling with, can we trust God, His power and kindness, His love and mercy for us? How do we perceive that in the midst of all these things that we are struggling with? As we have looked at this series about crossing over, at the beginning, Pastor Ben reminded us that we have a high calling in Jesus Christ and that we need to press on in that calling and move forward with Jesus. And Pastor Cameron reminded us that we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and follow Him. And last week, Pastor Ben reminded us that in the wilderness is that opportunity to be alone with God. And there we have the opportunity to respond to what God is doing. I would invite you to get out your Bibles. Maybe it's a book, maybe it's on your phone or your tablet or your iPad. If you would get that out and hold it up, I would offer a prayer of blessing for us. Oh Lord God, we ask that you would bless your word to us, that as you speak to us, we would have open hearts and open minds and open ears, that we might perceive what you're saying to us and that we might be able to respond to it in your spirit. Speak, oh Lord, and give us life through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Our key text this morning is from Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21. We're going to look primarily at that text, but we're also going to look at the larger chapter because there's a lot of good things in Isaiah 43 that we need to be reminded of that feed into what we're talking about this morning. Isaiah 43, 18 through 21 says this, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." Our God is on the move, and He's challenging us to move with Him. Our God is on the move, but who is this God who is moving? In this 43rd chapter of Isaiah, God declares His nature and purpose and His identity to us, a reminder of God's people because they were confused about who God is, and He needs to remind them and He needs to remind us of who He is so that we can be confident in His power and His might. And so in this passage, all through it are these names of power that God has for Himself that Isaiah records for us, that God declares. So our God has names of power. And in relation to the people of Israel, there's two primarily that He speaks of. In verses 3 and 14, He's called the Holy One of Israel. That's the way that He refers to Himself in relationship to the people. And then in verse 15, He says, "I am the Creator of Israel." So He is the Holy One and He is the Creator. All through this 43rd chapter, God declares over and over again, "I am." We need to understand that the name of God is not a noun, but the name of God is a verb. That He is I am. That means that He is a being that is eternal, that He is in time and beyond time, past, present, and future. He is, and that He has power and might because of His nature. And all through this 43rd chapter, He says over and over again, I am. He speaks of Himself as Redeemer in verse 14, as Savior in verse 11, but in verse 3, He's specifically your Savior. Not just a Savior in general, but specifically your Savior. And in verse 15, He is your King. In verse 3, He's referred to as the Lord your God. He is the one who is almighty and power. And He has that identity, and He acts in power on our behalf. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, at the opening words of this passage, there are actions that God is involved in doing on behalf of his people. And over again, Isaiah declares them for us. God says, I created you. I formed you. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Precious to my eyes. Honored. I love you. You see, we think because we're experiencing difficulty and hardship that God has abandoned us, that God is no longer remembering who we are, that God has somehow walked away from our circumstances and that he is untouchable and unreachable and he's just out there and we're cut off from him. But the reality is much different from that because God says, I created you, I formed you, I've redeemed you. I called you by name, you are mine, and he will not forget us. You're precious and honored, and he loves us. And we need to hang on to that so that we can have confidence as we move through these times that are difficult to us. And then God makes promises to his people that are recorded in this passage. All of us experience seasons of calamity in our life. Sometimes we're fortunate and we only have one season of calamity. But many times we experience seasons of calamity where we move through those hardships and difficulties, where we have things that are difficult for us to navigate, and it's just a part of the way God deals with us so that we can grow in him. But God promises us that in the midst of calamity, these things that we can count on from him, that I am your Savior. That even though we're going through hardship and difficulty, God is the one who saves us in the midst of it. God promises, I will be with you. So that when calamity happens, we can trust that God is there. And then most specifically, God says, I am with you. Not in the future, but right now, God is there with us. And he promises that you will not be overwhelmed. Oh, that is so important for us to remember that when we walk through these difficult seasons of life, that we will not be overwhelmed because God is there in our midst, that he is walking with us and that he is sustaining us and providing for us and that he is lifting us up so that we are not overwhelmed. And he promises, I will restore your people so that we can look forward to being restored in God as we move through these difficult times. So that's who God is, and now God is on the move. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, Isaiah records for us these words, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Our past can haunt us, it can trap us, it can limit us, it can confine us, it narrows our opportunity, it reduces our determination. All of the things about our past can be a roadblock and a limit on what we can do and what we perceive about life. Our past may inform our expectations about other people and about relationships. If you've walked through a difficult relationship, that can color new relationships because you're always looking for those old things to happen over again. And it can color what you see and what you expect. It can color the way that God is working, how we see God working and what he might be doing in our life and how he is going to do things. Our expectations and our past relationships can color those kinds of experiences for us. And so God challenges us to unlearn some things. You see, we think we know some things. But God says, forget the former things, forget the old things. There are some things you need to unlearn in order to be able to move forward with God. And we need to let go of those things that are in the past so that we can be free to move with God in order so that we can move forward. The people in Babylon, the people of God who were in exile, had expectations about what God would eventually do with them. They had promises and hopes that they're waiting for fulfillment. They had the expectation that they would return to their land, that they would be able to go back to the promised land, that they would restore the temple of God in that land, that they would be able to restore the city of Jerusalem, rebuild the wall and rebuild the city. and that everything would go back to the way it was before they were carried off into exile. And you know what? That part didn't happen. Yes, God brought them back to their promised land. Yes, God helped them restore the temple and rebuild it. And yes, they rebuilt the city wall of Jerusalem and rebuilt Jerusalem. And it was the capital not of a nation but of a province. But nothing was the same as it was before. Everything had changed. And so it is with us as well. God is moving us. Faults, God forgives. God turns shortcomings into strength. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says this, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. If God's not going to remember your sins, why do you remember your sins? Let go of them. They're in the past. God's dealt with it. Move on. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Yeah, we're jars of clay and we've got cracks, but it's through those cracks that the power of God shines forth and people can see the treasure that's inside. And it's His power. It's His treasure. It's not us. We're just vessels that hold it, and we need to let it be seen. Failures. Oh, we had plenty of failures in our life, haven't we? Failures, God redeemed. God turns catastrophe into glorious victory. God is moving in us. Failures, God redeems. Isaiah 43:3 says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. And in verse 4, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. God loves us and redeems us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul writes this, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. From bondage, God releases. God releases us from tangled snares into the splendor of liberty, from enslavements to freedom, from snares to freedom, from the lies we tell ourselves to truth. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Oh, God is redeeming us and moving us and setting us free so that we can move with Him. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if the Spirit of God is in your life, you have His freedom in your life. Let me ask you a question. In your internal dialogue with God and with yourself, what do you need to let go of in order to move into what God is preparing? What things do you need to set aside in order to move forward? What's holding you back? What do you need to release in order to move forward with God? God is on the move. Isaiah 43:19, He says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We sang this morning, our God is a way maker. And how wonderful that is, how powerful that is to be reminded that our God is a way maker, that He makes a way for us, that He creates out of nothing a way for us. He builds highways in the wilderness. Isaiah says in other places that the valleys are exalted and filled in and lifted up, and mountains are brought down and leveled so that the highway of God is an easy road that we can walk, that it's wide and easy so that we can travel across it. A highway is meant to transport things and people from one place to another place. And we have a God who knows where we need to go. And He's building a highway there for us so that we can move along that with Him. He is the way maker. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Thomas a Kempis added to that, saying, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. And so we need Jesus in all three of those aspects to build us so that we have life. God is moving to redeem us. Jeremiah 31, 33 says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write on it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah is looking forward to a time when we know God. Not simply that we know information about God, not that we have knowledge in that sense about what God is about and who He is, but rather that we know God, that we have a relationship with God, that we're intimate with God and that He's intimate with us, that there is that give and take of being together with Him, that we love Him, that we're devoted to Him, and that we're confident in His power and might. And God is moving to bring us to that time here and now. God is moving to transform us, to change us, so that we can move with Him. Ezekiel 11, 19 says, I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, a heart that's soft and yielding and open to receive what God has, because the Spirit of God is living within us. God is moving us into a newness of life, not simply the same life starting over, but rather a new life, new in time, new in instance, an expression of that new creation that is in Jesus Christ, so that we can be that new humanity in Him and with Him. And God is pouring out upon us His Spirit so that we might have assurance of who He is and who we are, so that we can move with Him. Isaiah 43, 19 simply says, behold. And that we need to look. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, we need to enter a state of openness so that our eyes are open to perceive what God is doing in the here and now. That we need to have hearts that are open, that we might be able to embrace the necessary changes that God is bringing to us, and that our minds are open to consider the new possibilities that are ripe in this moment of time that God is moving in. We need to ask questions of this season. What is this season teaching us? What can we learn from the circumstance in which we find ourselves? What is effective in fulfilling God's purpose right now? And what path offers a more effective future for us as God's people? As you converse with God and with yourself, ask yourself this question: where and how do you perceive that God is working now? If your eyes are open, if your heart is open, if your mind is open, where do you perceive that God is at work right now? That's where we need to move. That's where we need to move. God is on the move. In verse 19 again, he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, our God supplies our needs. Rivers of blessing, Isaiah talks about, abundance, spiritual blessings, lavishly provided for us. The desert is an arid place. Water is scarce and precious. And for God to remind us that as we move through these arid places of our life, that His Spirit, like a river, is flooding down upon us and filling up every nook and cranny with abundance and lavishness, so that there is no thirst. We can be fulfilled in that. That everything that we need is there. God's Spirit is poured out in such a lavish way on our life because God loves us, but it spills over into everything around us so that even jackals and ostriches are able to drink and be blessed by God. Jackals and ostriches are unclean animals. There are people that are estranged from God. There are people that might be considered unclean before God because of their lifestyle and other kinds of things. And yet God's Spirit is poured out upon His people so lavishly that even their lives are touched by God's blessings, by God's Spirit, so that they are sustained and fulfilled as well because God loves all people. And so God supplies our needs and pours out His Spirit upon us lavishly. Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." And so God is moving to create new possibilities in our life, in the here and the now. Yes, He's restoring what's broken, but He's adding new ways of living and learning and being together as God's people. It's in exile in Babylon that the people of God learn how to worship God without a temple. It's in exile in Babylon that God's people learn how to gather as a community without the central location of a temple. It's in Babylon that God's people learn how to teach one another God's word and maintain and be in relationship to God without a sacrificial system, without priests, and without the rituals of the temple. They learned how to do that in exile. And when they come back to the Holy Land, when they come back to the Promised Land, yes, the temple is restored and rebuilt and all those things are taking place, but the synagogue is thriving in parallel alongside that, and God's new thing is moving forward in time. God moves creatively within us. David cried out to God in the midst of his sin as he recognized his adultery. Psalm 51, verse 10, David cried out and said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Yes, we cry out for God's creativity to be in our life because we recognize that it's only God that can turn disorder into order, that it's only God that can turn our chaos into creative confidence in Him. It's our God who can turn confusion into conviction. And God is moving in our life to do that, equipping us for effective service, mending that which is broken, repairing that which is in disrepair, healing that which needs restoring and adjusting us so that we can move into the times that God has before us. God is moving to endow us with resources. Certainly, His Spirit is poured out upon us, but all the things that we need for life, God is supplying. Resource, water, food, purpose, all the things that we need for a thriving life, God pours out in abundance upon us. And God is moving to empower us with the Spirit. He's moving with us, and we're moving with God, and we have access to His power and might. We share in His purpose, and we're partners in His kingdom. Let me ask you another question for your internal dialogue with God, for your conversation with God this morning as you are conversing with Him. If God's desire is for all people, all places to repent and be saved, what has proved effective in these difficult times toward that end? What do you perceive as being effective to bring people into God's kingdom in the here and now? God is moving, and He desires that we move with Him. I would invite you to stand. I would invite the band to come up on the platform. Imagine what your life would look like if you were set free from your past. God has moved through your past and released you from it. He's dealt with it. He's taken care of it. He's forgiven it. He doesn't remember it anymore. And he wants you to let go of it as well so that you can move forward to him. Maybe you are feeling like there's freedom, but it's not for me because I've done so many things that are outside of what God desires, and there's no way that God would want to deal with me. But he does. He loves you. He's opened that prison door, and he's calling you to come out into his light, into his presence. Paul reminds us that it's very simple to be connected to Jesus. Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not that it's someplace off in the future, but it's here and now, right now, that God will save you. That he will do that in the here and the now, in the moment that you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised from the dead. It's very simple for us to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And what that means is that we recognize that as managers of our life, that our management has led us to failure and heartache and things that aren't good and aren't right. That the path that we've walked has been difficult and hard. And we recognize that we need to come under new management. And when we declare that Jesus is Lord, we're asking him to be that new manager of our life. That we're stepping back and allowing him to be in charge of our life. Because we know that he has the wisdom and the knowledge and the skill and the ability and the power to bless us and bring us to where he wants us to be. What we need to believe is not a lot of theological doctrine, but simply the basic truth that Jesus is raised from the dead, that Jesus is resurrected, that he is alive. Yes, he died on a cross for our sins, and yes, he was buried in a borrowed grave, but God raised him to life, and Jesus is alive right now in the presence of God at his right hand, interceding for us and praying for us and pouring out his blessings upon us. The fact that Jesus is raised from the dead means that he has the life and the authority and the right to be the Lord of our life because he's alive. If he was just dead on a cross and buried in a tomb, he has no life to give to us. But he is alive in Jesus. He is alive by God's power, and therefore he can give us life. And we just simply need to recognize and confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that he is alive, and we will find salvation. It's as simple as that. And Jesus is eagerly waiting for you to step forward. He will embrace you and love you and move into your life and give you life that is life indeed. There are others of us this morning who have been followers of Jesus for a long time, that we've believed in him, we've confessed that he's our Lord and his life is in us, and yet we've just been waiting and waiting and waiting. And Jesus is saying to us, it's time for you to partner with me in kingdom work. It's time for you to get involved in what I'm doing. It's time for you to move with me. Won't you say yes to Jesus this morning so that we can move together as God's people and do and be what he wants us to do? Imagine what our life together would look like if we were not bound by what's come before. We've never done it that way would be words that we wouldn't say anymore, that we would be looking for what God is doing and be willing to join him. What would it be like if we were open to how God is working right now and open and ready to partner with what God is doing right now in his kingdom work? Oh, what wonderful things God would do in our midst. What wonderful things God would be able to do around us in our community and through us in our world, because God is moving and we are moving with him. Oh, let us pray. Oh, loving God, I thank you for those who have said yes to Jesus for the first time, who've recognized that that prison door is open, that their sin is forgiven, that their chains have been loosed, and that they are able to move into the freedom that you have for them. And we just give you praise and glory for what you've done. Bless them, embrace them, give them new life, and open their eyes that they might always move with you. And Father, I give thanks for those among us who've said yes to you to be partners in your kingdom work here and now, that the time has come for us to join you in what you're doing, that you might move in us and that we might move with you. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might be moving with you in Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless us now in his holy name. Amen. I've got action steps for you to do this week. First of all, I want you to ask God to move through your past to give you freedom. I want you to ask God to open your eyes to what he's doing right now. And I want you to prayerfully join God in what he's doing in here.